of transit is now at hand with self-driving vehicles across the land. There are no boundaries you cannot explore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Mobility Podcast. We're glad to be broadcasting day two from the greatest transportation show on earth, the TRB Annual Conference 2023, not 13, even though I've been somehow saying 13 the entire year of 2023. Anyways, very happy.
Isn't it day three?
Well, I guess it is. Yeah, so there's that whole problem.
My voice sounds like day 10, but. Anyways, yeah.
Day three, correction. Anyways, day two of the week. I forget about the Sunday sessions. But yes, thank you everybody for joining us. We're really excited to have Tammy Meehan Russell and Justin Johnson from the Plum Catalyst doing a selfie right now. Woo! Always fun. But really excited to talk about the Go Marty project that they have going on in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. We'll hear about the story of how that project came about. And then also hear a little bit more about the Plum Catalyst. I think Tammy and Justin bring very unique perspectives from working both from the private sector and then also the work they're doing right now with the public sector and really honing in on the magical word of collaboration. So hopefully we can learn a little bit more about how we can move those opportunities forward. But maybe first we can get a little into what is the Plum Catalyst and why the name? How did it come about?
Sure. Thanks, Gregs. happy to be here. Yeah, and you say, what are we on, day two or three of TRB? But we actually came from CES, so I feel like it's day 20 of conferences for us. The Plum Catalyst is a strategy and innovation consulting firm focused on bringing future mobility tech, the new mobility tech, into government initiatives. And we do that under the lenses of a few different pillars, including rural, workforce, and equity are really the top pillars we have right now. But that can be those pretty broad topics, so we can get a little bit more into some examples of how we're bringing that into the Go Marty project we'll talk about. How did we get to where we are? Well, both of us, Justin and I, are both former 3Mers. And so I left 3M about 3 years ago after working in the transportation safety division and then moving over into the automotive division, both of which was focused on the future technologies related to connected vehicles, automated vehicles, a little bit in the electrification space, and spent almost 10 years there, started up a couple of different programs within 3M, and recognized there was a gap in the industry on this great technology that was being developed in the new mobility space, the convergence of consumer electronics and automotive, which we call mobility. And there was a whole lot of great tech going on and development in that space, and they didn't know how to work with government necessarily, and vice versa. Government really didn't know how to identify and do diligence and scout and really work with these tech companies. So as you said, sort of setting the table for collaboration in this industry. And recognized that 3 years ago, started the Plum Catalyst to help do that. And leveraged the network that I had built up through my work at 3M and decided to focus mostly in Minnesota, Texas, and California. 9 months ago, got Justin onboarded as our director of technology. We're a team of five, so went from one to five over the first 3 years.
Awesome. Congrats.
That's great.
It's been fantastic. And just a little bit more background on Plum. Plum is actually an acronym as well as a really great color for color branding. Every time you see Plum.
Yeah. Very on point. Like your Christmas card. I don't know where you got the Plum jacket, Justin, or who got it for you, but right. Nailed it. I was impressed.
Yeah, that was a requirement for that photography session that everybody wore some Plum. And yes, so Justin immediately got on board and actually wore that for, throughout the conference at least one day here, right?
I'll wear it again tomorrow. It's not against the law.
I just expand the Plum wardrobe for him a little bit so he has more options. But yeah, it's been great.
It'll be easy to find tomorrow, is the nice thing.
That's right.
But we have to figure out, because when people wear plum sometimes out and about at these conferences, we're like, oh, you're on brand. We have to come up with a name, like, I don't know, plumistas or
plumbers.
Plumbers.
That one's free.
I know, but unclogging innovation barrier.
That's right. There, I could get messy, but.
Yeah. Good one.
Not on board with this quite yet.
All right.
We have to workshop that. But no, plum stands for passion, learning, understanding, and mobilization. So passion is just really, I don't bring anyone in to come work in projects who aren't passionate about this. We introduce topics that are really difficult, like equity, accessibility, and how do we do that in like introducing new technology and change management? If you don't have passion, you're not going to be able to address it, at least not in a way that's impactful, and that's what it's all about for us. So the passion is important. Learning is not only us continuing to learn and our clients learning, becoming aware of trends, but also introducing and inspiring for next generation, so getting into that workforce development. Making sure we're teaching others so they can keep learning about this industry. Understanding is really just that empathy part of equity. So how do you make sure you have an understanding of what everybody's feeling and apply that in every project we have? And ultimately getting into mobilization, which is pilot programs, test projects. You know, how do you get this stuff out there so people can try it in the safest and most impactful way? And then, Justin, your turn. You have to introduce your background now, because it's...
Okay, yeah, our paths crossed at 3M. I worked there for 17 years, so my role was out of college. I started doing research and development. My emphasis was in wireless communication from the University of Minnesota, and so I was fortunate to be able to work at within 3M as a corporate research labs with a bunch of different sort of market segments and areas of 3M and healthcare and transportation and some customer-facing divisions. And I think carrying the theme of sort of innovation being a core value of 3M is something that I really took a special like to. And so whether it was just doing a lot of inventing and or trying to sort of push the envelope on what's possible from a technical perspective, but also make sure that whatever we're doing is adding value for a consumer and for someone to use. And I think working in the transportation space, 3M's aspect of that was trying to help design things for next generation transportation. And I think the opportunity to now continue that work with Tammy at the Plum Catalyst, here we can actually apply that to people, right? And to actually making lives better and to making things safer and more accessible and improving mobility for everyone. And so that's been a really rewarding transition for me. And I am super excited about some of the work that we have going on up in Grand Rapids, as well as other projects that we are kicking off and have underway with different clients. So,
different tech, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just say I pulled Justin out of the corporate research lab and got him out getting to actually work directly with these project stakeholders, which I know did a little bit when we worked together at 3M, but now he gets to do a lot of. So it's been really fun, I think.
Absolutely. It's great when they let us out of the lab at 3M. It's few and far in between. There's a lot of people who are real nervous staying in the corner like, oh, don't say something really bad. And I think it was a super rewarding opportunity. So Tammy and I did a lot of sort of, I would call it roadshow, but really it was a lot of business building where we were being able to communicate some of the technologies we had in mind, some of the sort of early threads of ideas, and try to understand what the needs were in the industry from both government partners and from some of the customers that we were working with, either sensor manufacturers or integrators in the automotive space. And so being able to really learn how to interact and how to bring some of that communication of what's going on from the technical side, I felt like was complementary to a lot of the business development work that Tammy was doing. And so
yeah, I think when you do business with government, you do business with everyone, right? And you have to learn how to work with multiple stakeholders. So, that's one thing we got to practice on a little bit while we were at 3M.
Yeah, awesome.
No, I think that, and one of the episodes we did, getting ready for TRB, where we were talking about outgoing executive director Neil Peterson and an incoming executive director Victoria Sheehan. Really getting on the conversation around how to merge research with implementation, especially in this world that we're talking about, emerging technologies. We can't wait 5 years for the next report to come out. How do you balance that with legitimate concerns around safety, consumer adoption, like you mentioned? So I guess to that point, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to chat with you all today is to hear about the Go Marty project, which I think you describing the Plum acronyms gave a great introduction for the themes I know are going on with the project. But you want to give an introduction to the project, including how it came about from a funding perspective?
Absolutely. How did this come about? I have to think. Hang on. Because it was so long ago. It was, so when I started the Plum Catalyst, I had experience with the Governor's Advisory Council in Minnesota, which was a great program and continues to be a great program that advises on connected automated vehicle efforts, and then spun off the Innovation Alliance, which has some specific working groups. Through that, there are a couple of key people that just, you know, network. It's a convening effort. So sat in on a meeting and met with the Iron Range Commissioner in Minnesota. The Iron Range Commissioner happened to hear my story of the Plum Catalyst and that we represent and we work with tech companies on emerging technologies and bring them out and want to do innovative pilots. He reached over and handed me his card. He said, if you're ever looking for a place to do an innovative pilot, we're open for business, and we are very interested in bringing new technology to the range. Okay, noted. Filed that away.
And the range, quote unquote, is like the Iron Range. This is like a transit agency. And
the Iron Range is a region in Minnesota, so it's in the northern, northeast region of Minnesota. Actually represents five different ranges where they would do mining. And and so it's a...
So this is Westworld.
Traditional.
Right. It's basically the industry in the area for a long period of history was
taconite production, iron.
Mines.
So it has a big history, deep history in mining. Sort of. Yes, you caught it. Thank you. I was just gonna go by. You didn't actually get it. So.
I felt like you were digging for a laugh.
Wow.
That's where everyone stops listening. Sorry, guys.
Please keep listening. It's still gonna get good. So the Iron Range Commissioner, fantastic. He reached out. He was actually Deputy Commissioner at the time. So I filed that away, noted it, and then around the same time, I also met this amazing advocate, which we will come back to later, Myrna Peterson. She sits on the Governor's Advisory Council, and she happens to live in Grand Rapids, which is located on the range. And shortly thereafter, one of our clients, May Mobility, reached out and said, we would love to do a project in Minnesota. What do you think? And I went, let me make a couple phone calls and see what I can do. And so, you know, anytime you want to do a project like that, it means you have to figure out some funding sources. And the great thing about MnDOT is they've created this new program, or I say new, but it's an innovative program called the CAV Challenge, Connected and Automated Vehicle Challenge, which sets aside about $4 million of state-mandated, state-legislated funding for specifically connected and automated vehicle programming. And it's an open RFP process. So knowing about that funding program that's there, worked with May Mobility to go into the range with the commissioner and meet with the set of stakeholders and just see if they were interested in something like this. Was so welcomed, you know, with this idea. But that being said, even with something like this, you know, being welcomed, you still have to figure out how you create a great plan, how you identify all your funding. So we basically met for probably 6 months, and then COVID hit, and then we kept meeting virtually, which was great, to plan out what the project would look like. And then we ended up doing a roadshow to identify funding sources in addition to the CAV Challenge with MnDOT. And that was a great opportunity for us, one, to get additional funding, because the community itself, and I tell people this project has always been community-led. That is something that I feel strongly about. When you introduce new technologies, it shouldn't come from the tech company pushing it. It should come from the community identifying what they want and making sure they feel heard and, you know, feel like they can experience this project in a way that's impactful for them. And so the community wanted this project to be over 50% funded by local support. They did not want MnDOT to be the primary funding partner. They wanted to be important enough to say 49%, but not to have full-on say and direction on the project. And so we went on a roadshow to identify the additional at least 51% of the funding for the project once we had it all scoped and ready. So that allowed us to get city funding, county funding, we got some foundation funding, and obviously a lot of in-kind time and support as well. But MnDOT came through and did our CAV challenge, approved that, and we officially went under contract in June of 22. Mm-hmm. And we had our big media day launch on October 5th last year. Mm-hmm. Senator Klobuchar came for our media day. It was a fantastic day. I mentioned Myrna Peterson, who we can talk about in a little bit, but she and her co-founder of Mobility Mania, Lisa Arnolds, got to be sort of front and center and push the button to blow the confetti cannons, which is Justin's idea, by the way.
I mean, that's what you were doing at 3M, right? Just researching confetti cannons.
We wanted a moment. We wanted a moment to officially say we were kicking off Go Marty. I don't know that I ever mentioned, but MARTI stands for Minnesota's Autonomous Rural Transit Initiative.
Nice.
I hate acronyms, but at the same time, because it was funded by so many partners, we had to elevate it up out of sort of a traditional naming of, representing one specific entity and sort of come up with its own thing. And so Go MARTI is what we came up with. So you can find the website, gomarty.com, and follow along with the project there as well.
And so, I think an important element, just to make sure we cover it, is the duration of the project.
Yeah.
It's not just one of these 10-week things. How long does it go on?
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure, I mean, this was an interest of all parties, that it was at least 2 winters.
That's how things are measured in
Minnesota. 100%.
You guys are basically the Starks of America.
So we wanted to say 2 winters. So how do we do that? It had to be at least 18 months. So we have 18 months of funding right now and continue to look for additional sources of funding, including federal funding, to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So we identified 4 goals. The 4 goals include sort of advancing and informing the technology in rural and winter conditions. This community wanted to make sure that they could sort of offer up their community as a place to advance the tech, showing that it didn't just need to be May Mobility in the future. There could be others that might be interested in leveraging this work. And this is a community that's open for business for that. And then another specific goal was around the accessibility. As I mentioned, Myrna Peterson, who's a huge advocate, she's a 70-plus-year-old retired educator who is a paraplegic. So she was in 2 car accidents over the course of the last 30 years, leaving her, as she would say, which someday maybe you will interview her for a podcast, but she would be amazing for you. She would say she has one thumb that works but a mouth that won't quit. She is the most active volunteer you have ever seen in your whole life, and she is just an amazing person. She gets a lot of things done, and nothing gets her down, and she can get around the city even in her wheelchair today. She goes out in weather that she shouldn't be going out in, and she knows that. Go Marty has been a huge passion for her to keep pushing it forward. And so, accessibility is definitely one of the 4 goals. Mm-hmm. And then the 4th one, not in any particular order, I was only up to 2. It's a good thing Justin's here. The 2nd one was accessibility. 3rd one would be, we'll say workforce and economic development, because that's where my brain was going. And that, because the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, I mentioned the commissioner of the Iron Range, is a funding partner. And that is what they're all about, workforce and economic development for the region. We mentioned where they come from, the mining industry, and they are going through a complete evolution in that region, moving away from mining and what's next. So for them, they have an interest in this project to inspire the next generation, promote upskilling and reskilling, which this project has hired over 25 people already just to work with the project alongside May Mobility and the Pump Catalyst. And then we continue to work with the local high school collaborative and the community college on in innovative programming to get those students involved in the project. And then the 4th one is, what's the 4th one? Which ones did I say so far?
Winter weather.
Community engagement. engaging with the community and tracking how that's going on our actual engagement, using it almost as a scientific method. If you're familiar with IAP2 model and how you effectively engage with communities using IAP2 all the way from awareness into them feeling empowered, sort of tracking over the course of the last 10 years in this community, we've been talking through the University of Minnesota about innovative emerging tech for transit in a rural community. So bringing in the University of Minnesota on those discussions, who have been researching, Frank Duma from the University of the Humphrey School, bringing him back into the community and studying like what we call institutional knowledge and sharing. So what has happened over the last 10 years, what happens during the project and what happens after the project, to truly engage with this community and make sure that it is something they feel empowered to keep there.
And so just for context, could you remind me how many people live in this community that's going to be served?
Yeah. So last census tract, and we just had a discussion on this one. I say 11,000 people.
11,000.
You can triple check that if you'd like. I probably should check that. But it's definitely rural.
Yeah.
It's like real rural, as they say up there. This is true rural. They're in Itasca County, which is about 45,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say demographics-wise, if you look them up, there's definitely more, a higher percentage of elderly and disabled populations, as many of the rural communities you see in the country right now. So making sure that focus on accessibility was really actually data-driven and that it's a real need in these communities.
Mm-hmm.
We have May Mobility has bypassed any of their previous deployments in wheelchair accessible rides within the first month or two.
Yeah,
they set a record on how many wheelchair rides just in the first month of this project.
Wow.
And where does this route go through the town? Where what sort of stops did you guys choose? Or
do you
have been
talk
chosen.
About the
sure, yeah.
Too
so
much of my voice.
Really, no. It was like we were talking about earlier, and Tammy said it was really a community led effort. And so there were several community engagement sessions where we listened to the community as far as what areas they really wanted to have served, what some of the important, whether it be facilities or just actual business entities, and so we heard pretty much from them that you know, healthcare places were of importance, the YMCA, shopping centers, and then access to a lot of the apartment complexes or senior living facilities and churches, and so that kind of drove the coverage area, that drove the schedule, and that drove how we could complement. There's one other existing transportation option in town, and we wanted to make sure to complement that versus compete, certainly in the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so so there ended up with about 70 stops in a 16 and a half square mile service area, and the hours of operation then were dictated by that, usually afternoons and evenings after the other bus option doesn't operate. And then on the weekends, all day Saturday and Sunday morning for access to places of worship. So,
And just, you know, thinking about it from a ADA perspective, or, you know, making sure that these stops could accommodate wheelchairs, you know, what was the planning that went on around there?
That was a lot.
Yeah, that's actually, it's one of the big efforts that is ongoing through the course of the pilot effort, is to understand. So all of the stops and locations where the shuttle can pick up and drop off were vetted by Main Mobility for their autonomous driving system to be able to safely pull over. They did a bunch of anecdotal measurements as far as safety for passing vehicles, obviously like the roadway speeds and congestion. And so that was a sort of safety first approach. All of that work, that being said, was done during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we really wanted to learn was, how does the accessibility to those particular drop off and pickup points change now that there are, you know, 4-foot banks of snow on the side of the road?
Yeah.
And how does access from the street to the sidewalk or the curb management, how does all of that play into it? And I think we've learned that this is a hard task, right?
Yeah.
And so our goal is to take this first winter, really try to document and understand what the scenario is, kind of as our day zero scenario, and then spend the summer putting into place some modifications, changes, improvements, and then try to track that next winter and ideally show that there is a path towards, you know, some kind of improved mobility options for pickup and drop-off. And we'll see.
I really love this project. I mean, this is... The exciting thing here is just seeing the level of community engagement you guys did, working with the city, helping them to helping the community feel some ownership of the project. I think it's something you don't always see in this space. So, hats off to you guys and that community as well for, you know, all of this hard work that must have gone into it. And on that note, you know what? You guys were telling us before that you have some novel approaches on engaging with the community. Could you give us some examples of what those might have been, or do you have anything else fun you want to tell us about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody raised their hand and said, yes, I trust a robot to drive me around.
Yeah, 100%. No, we have, so Justin and I are here. We are a team of five, though, from the Plum Catalyst. So I just want to make sure you understand. And then we, of course, have our May Mobility counterparts. So there is a team of people behind us that are helping to ideate and execute on this. And so, you know, I just want to make sure to say that. And actually, one of those members, at least from the Plum Catalyst perspective, that I feel like I need to mention is Patty Day, who leads our engagement efforts. She is fantastic at this. She previously worked for City of Minneapolis. She knows how to do business to government communications and does it under a lens of equity and engagement like no other. So I just want to make sure to call her out specifically, but we've done a lot of really amazing events for engagement. We mentioned while we were chatting ahead of time about a Community Connect event that we did, which was actually sponsored by Itasca Health and Human Services, which is the county where GoMarty is. And that was an event that was attended by about 1,000 people from the area where they're able to come in and see the different services that are offered in the county. And we had a GoMarty shuttle, May Mobility, set outside with alongside their shuttle so people could kick the tires, see the sensors. It becomes a little less scary when they can actually see a vehicle in person. And then we had a table set up inside on how you interact with GoMarty. I've shared before, but you can go to ictv.org. Maybe? I'm not sure if it's org or com. But they did a Community Matters piece on that GoMarty project at that time, which was before we had launched. And we actually were able to interview one of the riders who happened to be a 90-plus-year-old gentleman who rode GoMarty, but he only rode it after coming by our table about 4 times throughout the day. And the first time, he just walked right by. Nope, don't bother me. I don't really want to see this. No, don't talk to me. The second time, he got a little bit closer and you could see he was kind of trying to see. The third time he went by, he got a little bit closer and he asked a couple questions. And by the fourth time, he just stood in front of me and held out his phone and said, how do I do this? And he wanted to call up a ride, and it was after 2 o'clock, which is when the service launched or the operations launch. And we don't call it service. We call it a pilot or a test or an operation, by the way, because it is still in test phase. So just note, catch us if we say that.
Okay.
But he said, okay, it's after 2 o'clock. How do I do this? So I sat with him. We actually used the local call center, which is another innovative engagement that we have. We actually asked the May Mobility team and the VIA team to include a local call center in the scoping of the project. So that way we had a local voice that the community felt comfortable asking, calling up literally a live person they get on the other end of the phone to ask questions and to call up a ride. Under the topic of accessibility, we want to make sure everybody could call up a ride. And that meant if you don't know how to use a smartphone or you don't have a smartphone, you should still have access. So first call for help 211, signed up to be our local call center. So I sat there with this gentleman at that Community Connect event. We called 211 and we called the call center. We called him up a ride. He got on GoMarty. It picked him up at the Civic Center. And he came back on GoMarty. They dropped him off. And ICTV happened to be there to record a little bit about the project. And they asked if they could interview him. So you can see that interview there. It was really interesting because he said, I never thought I would see the day. He was just smiling ear to ear. And if you could just picture him about 8 hours earlier that day, he was very apprehensive, basically didn't even want to talk to us. But that's what it took. And he was super excited and all on board then after that. So there's things like that. And then, as I mentioned, we have a passion for workforce development. So we've done an innovative program with the local high school collaborative where in a rural AV deployment, one of the limitations is on tree-lined streets or streets that don't have a lot of sort of differentiating features on it for the vehicle to be able to identify and know exactly where it is in that digital environment. And so with that, we talked to May Mobility about putting together a high school project where we hired the local manufacturing career pathway students, and they teamed up and they built what we called fixtures. And so they built these fixtures along the route, which the shuttle then built right into the digital map to be able to use to help localize itself along the route in that section. And the students were able to learn how an AV shuttle works, get involved, feel obviously that they had a say in Go Marty and what's on the route. But we were also able to give some more information for May, and they can use that and decide if that's of help for them. And so you can find those fixtures along the route now. It's really fun. And then during our media day, Senator Klobuchar took some pictures with those students, so they really felt like they've had a role in the project so far. So that's just a couple of things. Another one, most recently, if you go to our website, you'll see the song competition. So in order to continue to engage with the community, again, I mentioned Myrna Peterson, who's not only in a wheelchair and provides our accessibility advocacy, but she's also a retired educator. So she likes to figure out crazy ways to get people involved in the project, like crazy and fun ways. And she said, wouldn't it be fun? Actually, I take that back. I may have started this with Myrna, but she takes things and runs with my crazy ideas sometimes. But we thought, you know, a lot of people can interact with music. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Bob Dylan's from Iron Range region, came from Hibbing, Minnesota.
But he wasn't the commissioner.
No, but there's a lot of musical talent in the Iron Range area from Minnesota. Trampled by Turtles, if you know that, is from Grand Rapids. The lead singer, I don't know. Anyway, so there's a lot of music that comes from this area. And so we thought, wouldn't it be fun for somebody just to somehow tie music together with the project? So how about we pull out a song competition as a part of our project? And so with that, we launched the song competition a couple months ago, I think. And we accepted in submissions with a few limited requirements of what the lyrics had to say about the project. So it's all about, give us a song that helps represent Go Marty. And then we got a bunch of submissions and we selected a winner. And that winner not only gets credit for the song as the authorship and the writer, but in this case is also the singer that you'll hear. And but they also got to have it master produced, and we'll drop it available for downloads. So what you're going to hear, wow, I think here is, yep, the actual song drop.
And we actually have it right here. We're going to listen to a short clip.
Just breaking news.
Yeah. We're breaking news in the Mobility Podcast here. All right. Let's roll the clip.
When a ride just can't be found, the folks in Grand Rapids can get you around with routes that will take you around the town. There's no lack of accessibility to let you down. No matter what your age or ability, Go Marty is here to give you mobility. If you don't drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride. To get somewhere, your friends at Go Marty will get you there. The future of transit is now at hand with self-driving vehicles across the land. There are no boundaries you cannot explore. Go Marty gives you independence and more. So if you need a ride to get around, Go Marty is a free ride to be found. Drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride. To get somewhere, your friends at Go Marty will get you there. If you don't drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride. To get somewhere, your friends at Go Marty will get you there.
Go Marty, experience self-driving in Minnesota's nature.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, it's catchy, it works, it hits all the, that does it.
That's fun.
In the full version, it's really awesome, actually. In the full version, they talk about mobility and accessibility, and like, he really hits on it. Jim Cagle, crazy story, because I love this aspect of it, and I know you said there's like a story out of this one, but he's the singer-songwriter here, Jim Cagle, the voice you're hearing, from Grand Rapids. He also happens to be the driver's ed instructor.
Oh my gosh.
In Grand Rapids. Come on, that's amazing, right? No. The irony.
And he's upskilling. They might not need that job.
He is upskilling.
Yeah, he's probably writing a new curriculum for driver's ed too, right?
Exactly.
The robot gave him a new job too. that's awesome. Wow.
I love it.
That's so fun. So that's great. And we'll drop a link to the full song as well in the show notes for this.
I mean, this is really exciting. It crosses so many boxes of everything that people talk about are needed for these types of projects, and I just really want to commend you on really focusing and planning this out. And obviously, I mean, I think from the start when we saw, I remember, you know, that announcement when Uber started operating in Pittsburgh, there was this formula there. It was, you know, a willing partner on the ground, a community that wanted the technology there, a strong research institution, which you have at University of Minnesota, go Gophers. And then, you know, a tech partner that's willing to invest in a community. And I think you have this added element, which maybe we haven't seen too much of with the state DOT and the unsolicited proposal process coming to fruition to help bring it together. And I think, you know, we're excited to see where this goes over the next year, hopefully have you back to hear a little bit more. And then I assume, you know, hopefully this is just the first of many types of these projects across the country.
Most definitely. That's the vision.
That
and
is the hope,
And I have to say, you know, you said like the DOT perspective, and I know we have a mutual friend here in common, which is Kristen White, and I, there is a coalition of supporters. I say it takes a village in a project like this. Really, they just needed, you know, sort of a person to continue to carry it through the many transitions and changes and, you know, whatever it was. And that was my role in that at the beginning. But Kristen has been such a huge champion, Kristen White from MnDOT, even from her, you know, DOT days at MnDOT, leading the CAVEX office, creating that innovative program, and now even afterward with ITS America, continuing to talk about the program, showcasing the various aspects of, you know, of what it is. And so, I feel like you need to give a little cred to Kristen in this project, certainly, even though she's moved on from her DOT position.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, cool. As we wrap up here, where can folks, we'll put in the show notes links to the song, to the video from the first rides. But where can folks find more about you guys? Are you guys on Twitter? Are you guys on LinkedIn? Where can folks follow you?
All the above.
Yeah. Justin is a social media expert on our team, and that's so complete sarcasm. I think everybody, when they hear this, should try to connect with Justin on LinkedIn and see how many of those he actually we are on Instagram and Facebook, and a lot of that is because of the community engagement efforts that we do around workforce development. We also do Future Mobility Summer Camp, so if you're ever interested in bringing in, like, a Future Mobility...
Future Mobility Summer Camp?
Yeah, so we do, we do sessions, Future Mobility 101 sessions, and then Tech Showcase, working with our tech partners to bring their technology out in front of students. So definitely, you know, ask us about that. But you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We have a Twitter, but we're not very active. So don't really look for us there. And then, of course, the websites, plumcatalyst.com and gomarty.com, to follow the project specifically.
Awesome.
Sounds like we're doing a podcast at a future innovation summer camp.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
yeah,
sign me up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to go to the range, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, you've never heard more, like, motivated and excited people about technology than middle school kids. It's crazy.
For sure.
Like, they're just, like, eyes wide and just take it all in and have asked some of the most, like, sophisticated questions.
They ask about liability. Like, they ask about liability.
Right?
Future lawyers in training.
it's crazy. Like, you know, they're just trolley problem, anything. Like, it's amazing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so there goes my baking soda science experiment. Not so good. I won't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. And we'll see you at camp.
All right. Happy TRB. Thank you.
times when a ride just can't be found. The folks in Grand Rapids can get you around with routes that will take you around the town. There's no lack of accessibility to let you down. No matter what your age or ability, Go Marty is here to give you mobility. If you don't drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride to get somewhere. Your friends at Go Marty will get you there. The future of transit is now at hand with self-driving vehicles across the land. There are no boundaries you cannot explore. Go Marty gives you independence and more. So if you need a ride to get around, Go Marty is a free ride to be found. If you don't drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride to get somewhere. Your friends at Go Marty will get you there. If you don't drive, have no fear for shuttle service. Go Marty is here when you need a free ride. Get somewhere, your friends to Go Marty will get you there.
Go Marty, experience self-driving in Minnesota's nature.